Hello.
Greetings. How's everybody today? Ready to get started?
Yep.
Well, thanks for coming. So I guess officially we will start. We are Unity. And I want to say some big thanks first to Microsoft for being a part of our world and letting us really be a part of their world. It's been a fantastic experience working with the Windows 8 team, so I won't call out names, but there are some great support people here, and I want to thank you all. And I want to thank you guys especially, our community and new developers that come in help Unity quite a bit. My name is Mark Morrison. I work for Unity Technologies based in San Francisco. I'm in the business unit. I'm a director of business development and sales. I work with my counterpart, Carl, who is an evangelist, Carl Calliwert. He's also based out of San Francisco, but travels the world regularly. And we're here today to give you all a nice presentation overview of Unity in relations to Windows 8 and what we can do to support you all in development for your Windows 8 projects in Unity. So let's get started. Go ahead. Oh, here we go. So the agenda today will be a pretty quick overview. I'm going to talk as little as possible, and we're going to get down to brass tacks and do a nice demo in the engine and then actually make a build in Windows 8 and deploy. So today our mission is to show you an overview of Unity for Windows 8, and we'll have demos, and at the end we'll leave time for Q&A as well. So I wanted to cover, for those of you who are not Unity users, a little bit about our product. We are a PC and Mac compatible middleware engine. It's basically an all-in engine from A to Z for interactive media development. This could be games, it could be non-games, can be apps. Our product is meant to support a one-person shop, a 100-person shop, or larger. We are true cross-platform capability, meaning we now support 8 platforms. And we will extend out, obviously, with Windows 8 to many more platforms. And the importance here is to know that the opportunities within the ability to create content and deploy to more than one platform is obviously very important these days in the emerging media and platform marketplace. So that really is, I would say, one of our big value propositions for Unity, is the ability to design and create content in a ubiquitous development ecosystem and then take that out to the different proprietary platforms. Our community is also a very large part of our product. We have over 1.2 million users. This means our community supports us and you all as the community in solutions to problems, plugins, extensions. Things that we don't actually build into the core product come from our community, so I can't express enough thanks to those of you who are Unity developers because you've really helped us grow, and we really appreciate that. We're a small company. We're growing. We're global. We have offices around the world. That's important for those of you in Asia, those of you in Eastern Europe. We've got a effort and initiative this year to push into LATAM, especially into Central and South America. And so we've got people to help you all if you're in Japan, if you're in Ukraine. We have development around the world. And so it's important to know that if you are in need of regional and localized help, we're there to help you all. We also have a lot of additional development resources. I'm going to cover a few of those very briefly, and then we'll get into the demo for the engine. The asset store is an extension of our engine in the engine. Essentially, it is a place where you all can find plugins, tools, models, extensions to help your product be a better product or more immersive, more more compelling. And what's happening in the asset store, really, you have to go see for yourself. You all are selling your content. For instance, some of the most popular plugins are physics extensions, ways to handle scripting, improvements on sprite management. So definitely take a look once you are in the engine at the asset store if you haven't already. It's a phenomenal resource, makes your life a lot easier. We've recently launched some online services to support developers. These are kind of the usual suspects that you would think, operational services, things to help reach platforms more efficiently, reach more users. So this is a new facet of Unity that it was built to support the community. So another great additional service for developers. Union is another neat extension of our business. Union is a division of Unity that helps reach emerging platforms. And what that means is we support critical mass platforms, the 8 platforms that we support now and growing. What Union does is extend those opportunities for developers and content to reach platforms that we may not support in our core products. So again, would encourage you all to go and review our website. There's a lot of information at unity3d.com. And then I would encourage everybody here to come and meet us in our booth in the networking area. And we're very generous with trial software, making sure that people can try our products before they actually decide and plan what they're going to do with their production. So that is it for the business talk. And I'm going to reintroduce Carl. He'll give you a little bit of background on himself. And again, we're going to spend some time in the engine, mostly today. We're going to leave plenty of time for Q&A. If you do have an important question during his demo, we do allow interruptions. We'll coordinate with our friend in the back to make sure the mic is on. We'll save an official time for Q&A at the end, though, just so you know that. So I want to thank you again, and I hope today is meaningful for you.
I don't need the PowerPoint. So, as Mark says, I'm Cara Cullerwood. I work as a product evangelist at Unity. Just before the presentation, I had the luck to talk with some of you who are using Unity. Some of you are just starting with Unity. I will be showing how I can make a first-person shooter game and deploy it for Windows 8. The benefit of attending my presentation is that for people who are beginners to Unity, you will see how easy it is and how fast you become a game developer and can monetize on Windows 8. If you are an expert in Unity, you will see some of the new features and see how you can reach a whole new platform by just one click in Unity. So what was the goal of this presentation? That we can make a game for Windows 8 here. I can run around and I have some of my friends. I can shoot them and I have some particles coming out, and I can run around here in full 3D environment. So we're going to break it down, make this game from begin to end, and deploy it for Windows 8. So this is Unity. Before I start, I just wanted to know a little bit better you. Who from you has already used Unity? Raise your hand. Okay. So we have a few. It's very good. I want to see more hands on the end of the presentation. Okay. So I'm just going to quickly lay out the layout here. This viewport is my editor where I actually create my level, like I import 3D models. Or, as Mark says, you can get them from the asset store. And I place them, and I make my level here. This viewport is my favorite viewport. It's my game viewport. So just I press play, and I actually can play the game right away in the editor. I don't need to compile it to test it. The hierarchy lists all the objects in my scene. I select here my first person. See my first person with the bazooka. Oh, let me go back to Unity. And I see when I have the first person selected on the right side, I see it's component based. I see all the properties. The project, I list all the objects that I import in the engine, such as textures, animations, materials. So what we're going to do, we're going to create a whole new scene. Okay. And hold the empty slate. What we're going to do, we're going to create just simple objects, and like a plane here. And that's what we're going to start with. Okay. And in Unity, comes with a whole group of packages, like a character controller, lights. And a character controller is a package, a pre-made package for you, that is a first person or a third person. Now, the philosophy of Unity is that we make it easy for you. We provide you prefabs. And this is a prefab here, character controller. I imported it already. So here I have a character controller, third person, and I have a first person here. Drag and drop my first person in my environment. And I press play. And already see the power here. I can already walk around. Okay. Looks pretty ugly. Let's have a bit more fun with it. So let's apply a texture. The texture is already imported here. Just drag and drop textures from a Photoshop file, a bitmap file, a JPEG. Just drag and drop it here in this project. That's what you have to do. And again, drag and drop again in Unity to apply it to the environment. Okay, scale a little bit. Looks pretty dark. Let it be light. So we have direction light, point light, spotlights. And for people who come from a 3D background, they know these terms all. So direction light, okay. Let's put the sky like here. Right now we are here in Seattle. Let's put a beautiful sky in there. So let's go to the render settings. And we have a skybox. And we have several skies here, so we can bring it a little bit more up. And I have here like an overcast, typical Seattle. But right now I think I feel more like I'm in Hawaii. So we're going to put a beautiful sky. Okay, and read the text. And I have an evening sky. Okay. So I'm going to have a beautiful sky. Okay, here, center sky, and there it is. So press play, and now we have already the environment fully applied to it, the skybox. Okay. What we're going to do, I'm going to import some models here. I have like a wall. I can everything, as long as you can export from your software as an FBX or an OBJ, you can import it, and then you drag and drop in it. That's it, what you have to do. Right, let's put a wall in here in the environment. Okay. Let's put a platform in there. Okay, and place it here. Zoom in. Okay. Take my first person. I'm going to place it on top of the platform. Okay. And I'm going to press play. And I fall through the platform. I start to cry. I stop my game production. No. Really simple. You just select the platform. And you're going to add a component. For the people who are new, who are experts in Unity, my favorite way is now to click here, add a component, physics, and a box collider. Okay. So with the collider, I will not fall through it. I'm going to put my first person nicely on top of it. Okay. Press play. And I already have this platform, and I can walk around on it. Okay. I'm going to duplicate the wall a little bit. You will see like some awesome features to make it fast. So I can press Control D. To duplicate it, and then I want to snap it nicely to the wall here. Simply click V, click on it, and snap it. You can multi-select, duplicate it, and V, and you snap it again. So you can start to see how fast we can create our level. Okay. Once you made a level, you can always export it. You can create an empty object, and take everything that it created and make it a child of that. Okay? So that object contains all those objects. You drag it in your project, and then drag it here in your project. Okay? And then you can say, export this. Okay? What I've done, I duplicated more walls, placed the platforms around, and I have a whole level. So I'm going to delete this now. Yeah. This one and the platform. And I'm going to take here my prefab I created before, so I have all my level here, and you can understand now how fast it is to create it by just duplicating everything. Okay, so I'm going to select scale here this. Okay, my first person, I'm going to place it nicely on one of the platforms. It's going to look here from the right viewport, and we're going to bring it up. Okay, go to top viewport. And there it is. I have my character already here. Display. And now I can walk around here in my environment already. Okay. What's missing is my water and my gun and my robot to shoot. So let's add some water there. Okay. Again, I can go here to my assets and import a package to make it easy for you, water. I imported already, standard assets, and I have here water. I have a daylight or a night light, it doesn't matter, but in this case I want to have the daylight. Yeah. Take here the water, and drag it in my scene. Okay. See the quality we have of the water? Okay. Nicely, the reflections of the sky and the refractions. It's all there. Okay. Let's have a look at our water. Display. Okay. And there we have nicely the water. Can go for a swim. And, okay, So we see how fast it is to make a level. Let's create some more interactivity. So I'm going to take here my weapon. I import a 3D model and a model. And I have a nice bazooka. Okay, typical what I take with me. Okay, take my bazooka, and I'm going to make it a child of my camera. Okay, I'm going to bring it a little bit lower, a little bit to the right, and the front. And there we have already the bazooka imported. I'm going to press play now. Because it's a child of my camera, my bazooka nicely follows. Okay. What we're going to do now is create a bullet and shoot that bullet. Okay. I have a bullet here in my scene. Okay, I'm going to drag it in. Okay. And there we have it. So what I added already was a rigid body by adding a component, physics, a rigid body. A rigid body is to add gravity, a physics, to my object. Okay. So when I press play now, my bullet is nicely falling on the floor. That's easy how fast the physics is applied to it. Okay. And let's create some scripting. Okay. How do you do it? You click here on button create, and I create a JavaScript or a C#. Okay. I can create a JavaScript. Okay. Double click on it. And we have a function start, function update. There's a lot more there. And I'm going to type one of the scripts. Okay. And the only thing I have to do is like call an API called like destroy. Let's select that one. Oh. Destroy. And I'm going to call it a game object. And you're going to, well, I'm going to destroy after 5 seconds. Okay. And we're going to save the script. And how do you apply a script to an object? Really simple. You select the script, and you just drag it on the object. That's it, what you have to do. So now, this object here, what we see is here, we see the script already attached to it. So it's component-based. Yeah. Press play, and what we're going to see is that the bullet falls, and after 5 seconds, the bullet is gone. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay. But from a game production, I don't like this, because I really want that my artist and my designers have also huge control in the design. If they have to change the code themselves, they will be calling the programmer during the night. Program has to get up, and the artist has to change it again. So back and forward, it doesn't work. Unity made it very easy for you by simply removing your 5, and let's say, hey, the bullet lifetime, a nice BLT. Okay. And when you declare it outside the function, say the variable BLT is a floating number. Sorry. There's a float that is equally, at the moment, 5 seconds. The beauty is, in Unity, the moment you declare something outside the script, it becomes a slider, or it becomes a drop-down menu. So right now here, I have a slider. So I can give full control to my designers without having the nightmare of my programmers doing all the designing. Okay? Okay, what we're going to do is now get a little script where we can shoot the bullet. So we have to define where we're going to shoot the bullet, and where we're going to spawn the bullet. I'm going to just put it in front of my weapon. And add an empty game object. Put it in front of my gun. Can look from the right side. Bring it up. Okay. I'm going to make it a child of my bazooka. Okay. The annoying thing is I don't see the object. It's very difficult if I have not selected it. It's very good. I don't see it in my game. But I don't see it in my editor. I want to see it in my editor. Select the object and create a button for it. That's simple as this. The cool thing, not selected. I click on it and it selects automatically the object. Okay. Oh, sorry. I clicked the wrong button each time. Okay. So we're going to add the script and I have the script already imported. So in Unity you can drag and drop scripts from any other project into it. It's all about being. I reuse your scripts easily. So I have a script here, shoot. Okay. And I can quickly look at it. And what I'm going to do, if I click the button fire, I will duplicate my bullet prefab declared outside. So now I have a drop-down menu of all the rigid bodies in my scene. So that means I can take that script over to a new project, and it will work again. It's not hard-coded. Okay? I'm going to give my bullet a velocity, and I'm going to play the audio file of shooting. Okay? So I'm going to take the shoot script, attach it to the empty object. What's my bullet prefab? Well, I can take this bullet and drag it in. My audio clip. I have here an audio file. As I said before, just drag and drop any audio files in there. I'm going to drag it in here. Okay. And my bazooka is this object. And let's test this now. Let's play. And now I can already start to shoot. Okay. I don't hear the audio. We're going to fix that. Delete the old camera. And my object is producing audio. So I need like a mount, like something that produces the audio. We call it a source. So an audio source. Let's have some fun. Let's play. And now I can already walk around and shoot the bullets. Okay. Let's add a robot. And we want that the robot attacks us. So I have a robot here. And drag and drop that robot in my scene here. Okay. I'm going to press play, and I'm going to go shoot that robot. He's just standing there for the moment. Okay. I shoot through him. Okay. Let's create also a bounding box for him, a collider. So we're going to add a component, physics, a box collider. And we can adjust it. We're going to bring it a little bit up, a little bit taller. Okay. And when I shoot him now, hasta la vista. I hit him. Okay, it's pretty hard to see on the screen here. Let's change the light a little bit. Okay. We're going to change the direction. We're going to make it a little bit more intense. Okay. Let's play. And now I hit him nicely. Okay. What we want that the robot destroys, hey, goes away when we shoot it. I have a little script, and I have a bullet hit script. I'm going to open that script here. Okay. It's really simple. On collision enter, that means if there's a collision, if something hits it, destroy the other object, the object that hits it, and duplicate an explosion. Okay. Take the script, and I'm going to put it on the robot. So we need an explosion. In Unity, you can create easily explosions by going to create, and we create a particle system. Okay. But I'm in production. I want to save time. I go to the asset store. Okay. And this is our store where you can get 3D models, but also particle systems, scripts, editor extensions. Okay. Because we have a community of 1.3 million users, there's about now 4,000 packages in the store. Very successful. Everything what you see in the demo, you can download from the asset store. So I can type in here. I'm going to look for some particles. And, oh, here, 50 magic particles effects. I can click here on import. And I imported them already to save time here. So I have here some of those. I'm going to save my scene here. Save scene. Okay. And what I can do is all the particles are imported here, and we have some example scenes of that. Okay. Let's play. So this is created by our community. So we have all different particles now, more than 50 particles. I downloaded, maybe the download took 10 seconds, instead of me spending whole day to make my own particles. So I'm going to go back to my scene. And I'm going to go to my robot, and I'm going to pick one of those particles that I will be using when I shoot the robot. So I'm going to go here to extend to my examples and effects. And I have like my favorite one is the ritual healing effect when I shoot the robot. So set my robot and drag and drop, though, that particle system I just got from the asset store. Okay. Press play. And where are you, my friend? Here. And now we have the particles already coming there. Okay. So you see how easy it is. Okay. What I want to do now is make a robot comes after me. And when I walk around, he tries to get me. What we have to do for that is create a navigation mesh, a nav mesh. Define where the robot can walk to get me. What we have to do for that is select the objects and set them to navigation static. They will be used in the calculations where my robot can walk on, jump on, climb on. I put all the objects, say, like the bridges and the platforms already to navigation static. And then I go to Windows, Navigation, Bake, and I click on Baking. And we're not going to bake cookies. We're going to bake a navigation mesh. Click Bake. What we see is here, we see the blue. That's my nav mesh. That's where my robot can walk now. My robot, I have to say, I define that he belongs at nav mesh. And how do we do that? We're going to add a component, navigation, say agent for that nav mesh. That's it. Okay. We're going to make a little script that say, hey, that robot is actually following me. So I have a script here somewhere, I think robot control, yeah. And what we do for that, we're going to open the script here. Our nav mesh comes with a lot of very strong APIs. And one of those APIs is here, the remaining distance. Hey, if the remaining distance, and we can change that number because it's a floating number. What I'm doing here simply, I want that my robot, when he comes close, stops and just admire myself. That's it. And take that script, drag it on the robot. See, because the scripts are reusable, hey, what's my target? Oh, my first person. Okay. The distance that he stays away from me, 3. And let's test this. Let's play. And now he comes to me. Woo, and I run away. He's coming after me. Okay. He's coming after me. And I can shoot him. Okay. Not going to do that. Okay. Okay, we saw that the animations didn't work. And there was no animations. But I didn't make any animations too for him. The beauty is that in Unity 4 comes now with Mechanim, where you can take animations from other sources and apply to your character and take control of that. Okay. If I look at my animations folder, I have a dude. His name is Dude. But I have total different animations. Hey, this character has a different rig structure, has different proportions. Okay. But let's look at the animation of it. So you're going to go to the animation tab. Click on idle. And I have an idle animation here. Okay. The same character has like a run animation, a jump animation. Okay. But we want to take those animations, and I click here at the walk animation. I want to take those animations and apply it to my character I have now. Okay. The new version of Unity will come with a library of animations, but you can also get on our asset store animations and drag and drop them on your character. Okay. So I'm going to take here my first person, my robot. And what I have to do for that, I go here to my robot itself. The only thing I have to click on is say it has a rig, and click here on humanoid. So it recognizes what is the head, the arms, the legs. So it can take animations from another character and easily apply to it. I'm going to take here my robot in my scene. Okay. And what I have here is a menu. It's what we call it at the moment, the animator. I drag and drop here my animations in it, an idle animation, a run animation, jump, and I connect them. Okay. And then I take my character, my robot, and I'm going to take that controller and place it on that robot. I'm going to check here where my controllers are. Okay. Drag it on. That's what you have to do. So you drag and drop your animations, you connect them, and drag and drop on your character. Display. And now the character has already the animations, so let other character apply to it. Okay, so I'm going to run to here. Okay. And there we go. Ah, you're going to have to fix that. Okay, hold on a second. Yeah, there he is. Yeah. Okay. So, I just showed you how fast you can actually make the games, assemble it, but also optimization is very important. Unity comes with a lot of optimization tools. Of course, you have a full profiler when you play the game. You can profile CPU, GPU, your rendering, your memory, your audio, and then really look at it, how much time every script takes, and then optimize from there. But we have some very simple tools built in that does tremendous powerful optimization. Okay. One of those tools is occlusion culling. Okay. Occlusion culling, and we're going to create an area. Okay. If you're not familiar with occlusion culling, we only want to calculate what we actually see in the game. Okay. Like I'm standing in this building, I don't want to calculate the walls behind the walls. Okay. I only see what I actually see. So we're going to create an occlusion area. Okay. Scale this. Okay. So that's the area where my camera will be standing in, where I can actually place myself. Okay, I'm going to place it in here. Scale a bit. Look from the right viewport. I'm going to bring it up. Scale it. Okay. The area is created. We're going to go to the settings. We don't need so much cells. Bigger. And I'm going to bake this information now. Okay, and the baking, you can see the process on the bottom of the screen here. It's almost done. Okay, so look, now when I press play, you can see nicely in the editor what I'm actually calculating. And this will help you to bring up your frame rate again. Okay. Let's save my scene. One of those other tools we also imported, created for Unity, was light mapping. So I can bake my light information. Okay, my light here, I'm going to select it, and I'm going to add some shadows to it. So we have the shadows here. But I want to bake it all as a texture, so I don't have to calculate light at runtime. Click on the light mapping tab, and I can go to bake scene. And go to the bake settings, put the resolution to 5. And we're going to do a very fast light mapping here, low quality, and a single light map. But you see, you have access to like a finer gathering rays, and your Aben occlusion, and we're going to bake our scene now here. Okay, this will take like a few seconds here. Okay. And then after that, I will also show you, and we're going to build it, the project, and also show you how we can actually do a mobile build. So the calculation is going on here. It's almost there. Okay. And so it's still baking. We're almost there. Okay. So we're going to apply a filter to the textures at the moment. And we're going to import them now. So right now, this is a low quality bake in my scene, but there's no real-time light going on anymore in my scene. So again, your performance improves a lot. Okay. But there's one problem, as you can notice here. When I press play, when I go in the areas that are dark now, my gun stays dark, stays lit up because everything is baked. We want to also bake the information for our dynamic objects. Okay. How can we do that? We can create light probes for that. Okay. And I'm going to just import the prefab. You go basically to here, create an empty object, and you're going to add a component, rendering, and light probe group. Okay. And I'm going to go here to my models, and I have one ready. I think so. And I have here a light probe group ready. Just going to drag it in my scene here. Okay. Okay, there it is. Okay. Okay, gonna go to top viewport, it makes it easier to place it. Okay, there it is. Okay. So what I did, you place those little spheres in your scene, and when you bake, it will bake the light intensity and the light color on those spheres, and dynamic objects will interpolate between their information, how much light should go on the object, how much lit up, and the color between those spheres. So I paste them in, and then simply I go to my gun here, select the object, and say, hey, you're going to use those light probe information. Use my light probe information, okay? And I can do it also for my robot. Okay. Use light probe information. Now we go to light mapping, and we're going to click again bake. Okay, just going to take a little bit here. Going to bake the light probes and the light information, and now when my robot walks around, it will take that information of the light probes and also from my gun. Okay. Once it's all baked, then let's build it for the Windows App Store. Okay. And then after that, let's look how we can do it for the mobile version too, Windows Mobile. Okay, so the calculation is almost done. There we have it, it's baking. And also in 4.0 comes selective light mapping. So if you do one changes, you can select light mapping, and it will just recalculate the area that was changed. You don't have to rebake everything. Okay, let's test this now. Press play. Have my weapon. So now all the light information is baked, and I go in my weapon, and it comes in a dark area. There's nothing real time going on anymore. Pretty cool, huh? Okay. Okay, so we have our game, file, I'm gonna save the scene, file build settings, okay? And I click here, I can pick here, Windows Metro, Windows ARM. So I'm gonna click here Windows Metro, select this, okay? And the only thing I have to click is build. I can select the folder here, okay, and create a folder. And I'm going to call it Seattle. Select the folder. So I'm going to build it, and I'm going to create a Visual Studio project. I'm going to open that. And it's almost ready. So you've seen, I took it how to make a game, how fast it is to put the components together. And now with one click, basically here, we're going to have already our game ready for submission then for the Windows App Store. Okay.
Was there anything about your project that made you choose the XAML C++ solution?
Okay. Let's do the question afterwards on the end so that everybody can hear the question. Okay. So we're going to select here the Seattle project. Open this now. Okay, the Visual Studio. And then the last thing I have to do is click one button to deploy it and deploy it here on my local machine. And it's busy. And there we're almost ready to monetize on my first big MMO game here I just created. Okay. It's loading. And there I have my game already ready for I put the I same game basically. Hey you, hasta la vista. Okay, let's go back and to Unity. But what if you want to go mobile? At the moment I used mouse and keyboard. Okay? Really simple in Unity. Game object. And no, you go to assets, you import a package, standard mobile package. Click, you import that. And it's here now. Mobile. My character at the moment, my first person here is mouse and keyboard. Okay? But what if you, like myself, I'm not a hardcore programmer, I don't want to start to change all the programming. Well, Unity comes, if I go here to my mobile assets, I have here prefabs, and I have a prefab here for a first person for mobile. I have a side scroller, third person, a top-down viewport. So I take that first person, okay, who is mobile, should drag it in my scene, okay, and I have here my first person now, okay, and it comes with the joysticks automatically, okay. And it may be hard to see, but the joysticks are here, the touch inputs, okay. What I'm going to do, I'm just going to rename here this one, that's my mobile character, okay. I'm going to take it out. I'm going to make it a child of my first person of mouse and keyboard. And I'm going to place it in the same position, okay. Bring it down so they match. Take it out. And the last thing I do is take my bazooka. I'm going to duplicate it and make it a child now of my mobile character. Okay. Player, my camera. And I can deactivate now my mouse and keyboard input, or I can make it through a script. That's it. And then I can, if I had my Surface here with me, I could plug it in, and the built-in settings, I click built and run, and I'm done. Okay. So that was a quick overview how we actually make multi-platform games for Windows 8. I think Mark wants to add a little few things, checklists, before you deploy to the Windows Store itself, Windows App Store.
Did you cover Visual Studio the way that you wanted? You covered the Visual Studio part. You're okay on that?
I think so.
Okay, we'll go back to slide.
Okay.
Here's a clicker. So hopefully you got a little bit of a taste of the engine and how easy it is to create and deploy. There's another important component that it includes planning. And proper planning, as we all know, means well in advance thinking of things that may come up to haunt you, problems. Specific to Windows 8, there's a checklist here, and we'll go through everything here. I'll touch on a couple of things. Trial, if you want to include a trial within the build, that's an important step to plan in advance. Live tiles, secondary tiles, the inputs, contracts, the share, settings, play two. So these are things that are critical in planning in advance. You want to make sure that as you are creating your project, you're planning where you're actually going to deploy it, how you're going to deploy it. And as we are evolving and kind of maturing the early stages of what will be our commercial support for Windows 8, we're learning from you all. So there is a process right now that we're following for early access. For those of you who are Unity users, we can at this point get you early access to what we're calling an alpha state for the Windows 8 Unity builds. So if you are a Unity user, try to see us today. We've got cards. I have to apologize. Right after the talk, we have to go and do an interview, so I won't be available for questions right afterwards. Carl will be at the booth. We're in the networking center, and we'll be, after 1 p.m., we'll be there with a field engineer. So if you have business, licensing, technical questions, if you'd like to get early access to Windows 8, we're doing that under an NDA currently, either Microsoft or Unity NDA. We can talk to you about that. If you are new to Unity, please come and see us today and get access to Unity 4.0. We released the public beta yesterday. And at this point, commercial release is imminent. And of course, 4.0 supports the Windows 8 platforms. So early access for Unity developers currently, absolute access for anybody that wants to try 4.0. You can download the software for free. There is a EULA that describes who can use the free software. Everybody in this room, I would encourage to use the pro software, and we can give you extended access to that in trial format. So rather than download the 30-day trial, come and get the full pro suite. And then after you're feeling comfortable in Unity within, I would say, holiday time frame, Thanksgiving to Christmas, we will open up access for new users and then go wider into beta. Currently there are projects in Unity Windows 8 that are submitting to the store and being approved, so we are also allowing early releases with Microsoft's approval, and obviously you've got to go through all the steps there to make sure that that happens. Pretty cool, at the end of the month, November, We will be supporting a Microsoft-hosted event in Mountain View, which will be a two-day event. And this is the information. It's early. We're going to announce the agenda and the content within a week or two, but expect us to support Microsoft and their Windows 8 developers, not only new users to Unity and Windows 8, but experienced and advanced users. We will make sure that the first day is very comprehensive in covering development for beginners and advanced. We'll bring in some outside developers and other resources to talk to you about what they can offer you. So the first day will be a really, really great full day of hands-on training. The second day will be what I'm calling a dev jam versus a game jam. It will be an area and a day for just immersing yourself in with team productions. We'll have evangelists, engineers, both on the Unity and the Microsoft side there. So really encourage you all to come and join that. And I realize that we have cut Q&A short by 2 minutes, but again, right afterwards, we have to go to Channel 9. Carl will be in the booth from 1 p.m. on. We'll be there for any of you all to get more questions in. So for now, we're hoping there are some questions, and if there are, I think what we'll do is ask you all to go to the mics in the middle so we can make sure that our friends who aren't here can hear. So let's start questions if there are questions.
With Visual Studio, for example, I know that you can generate the solutions XAML C++, but if you're already doing integration work with Windows 8 around tiles or in-app purchases and things like that, one of the things that we're working through is how to do some more work in Unity and MonoDevelop and then take what's produced in that solution and then check it into source control with someone else doing some C# work or C++ work in the solution. So how do you do that? Which bits of the generated solution should be pushed back into into somewhere else where there might be someone working outside of Unity? Does that make sense?
So you're asking how you can work concurrently with other users in the same project?
Well, the Unity generates a Visual Studio solution, but once you've got that first solution generated, generally the process is that you would check that into source control, and then you may be adding in things into that Windows 8 solution that aren't related to Unity, such as work in-app purchases or code or logic that's not related to the game but is related to integration with Windows 8 features. So that wouldn't be done within the Unity environment. That would be done within the Visual Studio solution. So incremental development, whenever you've done some more stuff in the Unity IDE, the only thing you can do there is generate another solution. But if it already exists, how does the incremental process of getting updates from the Unity environment into...
That's an incredibly great question. One which we'll try to address here, but I think we also like to include our field engineer in some of those answers. We are learning that process more as we go along. There's specific proprietary bits to supporting Windows 8, but specifically to your question, I would say that that process is happening within Unity, within the support, the string code that connects Unity to Windows 8. And Carl, do you have anything to add there? It's really interesting because we're actually in kind of evolution of that process. And currently, if you've got a problem and you're in the group, you can bring that question. The way that we host the current early access to Windows 8, Unity Windows 8, is in a forum where peers are sharing questions and answers. That's a very specific question that, rather than give you the wrong answer, can you come and visit us later today?
Yep.
And we'll study that a little bit more. I would say that is in progress. But please know that once you're in Unity supporting Windows 8, you've got all the tools within the actual engine, Unity engine itself, to create and then find those extensions that need to occur either in the engine or going towards the platform. So most likely the answer is it's in engine. If not, we'd love you in the group, and please help us evolve that solution. That would be great. Thanks for that question.
Yeah, I got two questions. The first one, how do the light probes affect the draw calls, so specifically mobile? How does that work?
The light probes, I don't know regarding the draw calls, but the light probes are so low on the memory. It's really optimized for mobile. That's why we mainly did it, because on a console you don't have any problems with that mainly. But for mobile, you really want to use light probes because there's no calculation going on anymore. and just draw call for your object, nothing to do with the light anymore. Okay. So, and then if you add dynamic light on top of that, it is so small, the impact of that. Because dynamic light on top of that even works still.
Great, so, thanks. Yeah.
Are you a veteran mobile developer? Have you been developing for mobile for quite some time?
I've got a Unity Pro license. I've been a bit slow on actually using it, but over the last couple of months, I wanted to talk to you about the early access.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's definitely performance issues that you also want to plan for in advance. And that question's really important because as you are deploying to smaller platforms, there's clearly things that need to be taken into account there. So we handled that pretty well already, I assume, and have seen in the group, the early access group, that is also being supported for Windows 8 and Windows Mobile. Yeah.
And the second quick question, do you need to, in order to build the Windows, the three different build options you had for Windows, do you need to be running Unity on Windows 8 in order to do that? Can you have Unity on Windows 7 to create those three solutions?
Well, you're in engine when you're developing. So is your question, is there a...
So do I need to be running Unity on Windows 8 in order to create, in order to build out those three? Yeah.
Not necessarily.
No?
Not necessarily. But we would encourage you to update to Windows 8 and develop on Unity 8. You know, I apologize. We didn't get to your question. Really quickly, if we could answer your question during the presentation. You were asking specifically about the settings and why Carl chose the setting for output that he chose. Is that correct?
Well, it just kind of went with it, and I think after I asked it, I answered it.
Perfect. Okay. Thanks. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. I just wanted to ask, I'm thinking that I may need some contractor help from somebody who knows and uses Unity in Portland, Oregon. And I was just wondering, customers of yours that are open to receiving inquiries about contractor help, if there is some way to get a message through to them in a given area.
Great question. Again, back to the community, you all, as a big part of our product. User groups in local cities, and I know there's one in Portland, there's a very robust one in Seattle. What I would say to that is if you're looking for developers, you want to get involved in the community and spread the word, we're always networking. So we're providing you, as you come and see me later today, a list specifically of the skill sets we know in your area that may help. Portland is a growing development community for Unity, so we can definitely network you all. If you're looking for work, we can also help. So in terms of Windows 8 and what's happening here, we definitely will get involved in supporting Microsoft, our community, to make sure that A and B are coming together so that developers are finding work and contract work is finding developers.
And also on our website, we have a really intensive forum. One of the sections is where you can post to look for contract workers. I've used it myself before I joined Unity when I made games, and I posted and I got in the first 10 minutes a reply, and they started to work on my scripts.
We're going to do the microphone, though. Can I ask you just to go back there? Because it's great. We have plenty of time. Just want to make sure we reach our friends across the world.
I was just going to say, I have to run out right after this session. Could I get your business card, please?
That's exactly what I was going to ask.
You all, I will stay, I promise, I will stay 5 minutes afterwards, give cards. I'm very responsive in emails and can follow up with anybody here right afterwards for a card.
That's what I was going to ask.
Hi there. How easy is it to import, say, your own 3D models, animations, skeletons into Unity? Is it Unity proprietary? No. Or if I already had some artifacts, say, for Skyrim that I built, am I able to import that into the engine?
So anything that can be exported as an FBX or an OBJ, we can just drag and drop that into the engine. Like if you made animations like in 3ds Max, Maya, Mudbox, Cinema 4D, Lightwave, Modo, just export as an FBX and just drag it in, and all the animations are there. You can do animations in one take. So if you have, an animation file from 1 to 1,000, where you have walking, running, you can drag and drop in Unity. In Unity, you can split them by frame. From that frame to that frame is my walking, is my jumping. You can also export them separately, where then you use a convention of you have a character or a machine, called machine, and then you can call machine at grabbing, machine at firing. Then automatically it will use firing and grabbing in your scripting, then you can use that to communicate with that animation file. Morphing is currently not supported, but in our asset store, some people have already written extensions for that, and I can use it then from there. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Alex. And do you have any academic programs up and running? So I would love to use that to teach my students.
That's the teacher. You're the teacher. We have an actual teacher, Unity teacher. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Carl's been a Unity user for many, many years, and he is a teacher as well.
Oh, if I can have him, I would take him. Sure.
Where are you based?
Germany.
Germany, okay. Yeah. So I'm going to let Carl answer, and I'll embellish a little bit more if needed.
I don't deal with the pricing, okay?
Oh, is that a pricing question? I thought you were asking about education programs.
Academic programs, so because I'm from a university, so I would love to use it.
Yeah, so we wanted to keep things really tight here to connect the dot for Unity to Windows 8 today for you, the developers. I could go on all day long about the business and the models that we offer. Our second largest growing business for Unity is in the education space. It's massive. And so we are supporting that globally. Carl's working internally with a team for certification programs. Pricing is different for education. We are very interested in supporting that business. So probably the best thing to do would be to talk to us afterwards a little bit more about how we can support you. We are opening offices around the world every month that I don't know about. We're in Europe, in various countries, so we have support near you.
And we just opened an office also in Berlin, so we have a local support there too. And we're also creating a learn section. That's a whole dedicated section of our company that's focusing on creating curriculum for schools and learning Unity.
And as we grow in colleges, surprisingly enough, we're really growing in high schools. And we are also growing in middle schools. So that gives you an idea of the kind of the ease of use for Unity in a classroom.
Yeah.
Great question. We'd love to talk to you afterwards about that.
Okay, then come and see you, yeah?
Yeah.
A question regards animations and skeletons and importing. It was very easy to bring in new animations and apply it to skin models and that. My question is, if I have a skeleton for my model, generally my skeleton has to match the bone structure of.
No.
Do you guys handle all that on that end?
Yeah.
So like if I have 50 bones in mine and the animation's for 40, it'll appropriately map that.
Correct.
I'd love to talk to you about how you do that.
You guys, I would love to spend an hour on Mac. It's amazing.
I can show you here.
Yeah, it's truly amazing.
That's been a problem.
I don't think we'll have time to actually get into anymore because I want to get the last question.
No, I can actually talk to them.
But we would love to talk to anybody about Mechanim. It's the team that is Unity doing that has a lineage, a legacy of creating the kind of the higher end animation tech in the game space.
Because that's a problem that I've run into in the past in finding models and animations, and always has to be in sync.
You're going to get a 4.0 access from us very soon, so you can experience it. I know we have to wrap up. I want to take the last question. Thanks a lot for that question. So one more question, and go back to the slide, though. I'm going to show the context.
All right, so some context. I don't have Unity experience myself, so this is really interesting to me. One thing that comes to mind is, I see the 3D scene. I see how that works. That's awesome. What about the Chrome, the either menus or other things that a person might be, a dashboard or a HUD? Is that something that's developed in Unity? Do you do it in XAML and then have interop, or how does that work?
In Unity, you can use a scripting language to directly create your GUI, your buttons, your images on top. It's very simple. Now, there's other things that you can do in Unity, and we have added extensions, like some of our community members have written EasyGUI, mGUI. I know one of the latest one has written where you can actually make your layout in Photoshop and then click and it will import the Photoshop files for the layouts.
Okay.
And we're also working on a new retained GUI that will have a high performance.
Okay. And are there interop points where you could have your XAML, C# actually direct Unity, the Unity game engine from outside, from the host?
that I'm not sure about.
Okay.
That's a perfect segue to say, please come see our field engineer at our booth. We encourage you guys to come. Thank you so much, and thank you, Microsoft.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.